There are so many societies, so many churches, so many isms, that it is almost impossible for an independent man to succeed in a political career. Robert Greene Ingersoll.
Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful week.
Yes, indeedy.
I think we did.
And luckily, we are starting on time this time.
Amazingly enough.
Right.
Well, since we're starting on time, I guess we'll just get right into it.
That's usually why people listen.
Yeah. So we do have new Twitter followers.
Twitter people.
We've got Discover Truth. Gleb Sapersky, I think is his name, which hopefully I got that right because he's going to be a guest on the show soon.
Jeez Louise.
Monster on Sunday. Habeas Humor, which is a new podcast I found. Kind of cool. Mm-hmm. She talks about law and stuff as a comedian. Then we have Muslim Advocates. Available in ADHD. Tim Burfield. Secular World. Reason Real Estate. And church-going atheist.
Twitter people.
And how do they follow
us? Nope.
At Secular Yakking. I don't even know why I have to say it.
You know, our intros, he quotes, please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary. Nope. Not for me. I got a two-word vocabulary, or two-syllable vocabulary. Is it two words, two syllables? I forget. Two words,
two
right?
Two-word.
Two-word vocabulary. Yep, that's me.
Okay.
That's all I got.
All right, fine. All right, so I guess we have some news to talk about.
I would hope.
Since we are kind of a newsy type show.
Yes.
Okay. Congressional candidate attacks reporter, then wins Montana's only House seat.
Yeah, right.
So I know we normally only do really obscure news here.
We try to,
We try to, right?
Yeah.
But I couldn't let this one slip by unyacked.
Liked that, don't you?
I like that. That's a new verb I came up with. We're going to yak it.
Okay.
Montana has a new congressman who, by his own accounts, is a creationist and has charges of assault against him.
Oh, he's a creationist?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
He's horrible creationist.
Oh, okay.
He's got a lot of stuff going against him. He was in line for a Potter Award.
Was he now?
Yeah, he was, but I found someone better.
That actually doesn't surprise me, but go ahead.
Yeah, he's a creationist. He is against retirement because it's not biblical.
What?
Yeah, all sorts of weird stuff, right?
So is his philosophy work till you die?
Yeah, he says Noah worked when he was 600, so why not?
Oh, don't even get me started on that whole stupid Noah thing.
Yeah, but Noah lived, what, 900 years?
Nine.
What did he do after the flood?
Sat around, did nothing, apparently.
Sat around, got drunk, I bet.
Yeah. The whole thing is so dumb. Oh, anyway, my God, the fact that grown adults believe
Sorry. Back to the story.
Yes, sorry. Go.
Well, Greg Gianforte, I want to call him Giant Fort. I actually typed it in that way earlier, Giant Fort.
Okay.
Choke slam the Guardian's Ben Jacobs on the day before voting in this single district state.
The reporter, right?
Yeah, Ben Jacobs from The Guardian.
Oh, well, I'm thinking Guardians of the Galaxy, but okay.
No, well, I doubt he could have choke slammed anybody from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Even in real life.
Unless he's like Thanos or something.
Anyways, move on.
Anyway, Jacobs had entered an ongoing interview to ask Gianforte about his view on the latest CBO report for Trump Care since he's a Trump supporter.
Right.
Right. According to witnesses who happen to be Fox News reporters, Gianforte became irate, grabbed Jacobs by the neck, and threw him to the ground, then repeatedly punched him and yelled, "I am sick and tired of you guys."
Jeez. Welcome to the Trump era.
Welcome to the Trump era, indeed.
Yes. And I also heard that he broke his nose, too.
Yeah. Broke his glasses, broke his nose. He ended up at the hospital for a bit.
Uh-huh.
Not good.
But all is good.
Oh, always. Anyway, then he lied about the encounter.
What do you mean?
Well, he said that the reporter instigated it by badgering him and then taking them both to the ground, what I can only be described as Jacob's ninja-like abilities.
Wait a minute. What do you mean taking them both to the ground? That the reporter took them both to the ground?
So here's the quote from his staff.
Okay.
Jacobs was asked to leave. After asking Jacobs to lower the quarter, Jacobs declined. Greg then attempted to grab the phone that was pushed in his face. Jacobs grabbed Greg by Greg's wrist and spun away from Greg, pushing them both to the ground. As I said, his ninja-like abilities.
Right. He just didn't like being asked questions of any kind.
Well, this particular question, he didn't want to answer it.
What was the question?
It was about his opinion of the new Congressional Budget Office's report on Trump Care, I think it was.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I still say, you know, welcome to the Trump era, because it just seems ever since he took office that everybody, okay, so one, don't like to be asked questions, obviously, even though, you know, they're in the public eye and that's what they're supposed to do. Also, freedom of the press. But two, it's like, if you have a thought in your head, it's no more just think about it and keep it in your head and imagining yourself doing this crap. It's just go out and do it.
Yeah.
Without even pausing anymore.
It, I know.
Everything is just so violent and nasty now. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm not really surprised by this Trump supporting politician assaulting a reporter, since Trump has repeatedly called the press his enemy.
Well, not only that, how many times does Trump say, you know, stop asking me questions or next question or, you know, crap like that?
Yeah. Just like in a press conference earlier. No. Next
question.
Yeah. Ridiculous. But I'm also not surprised by the comment sections on news sites, because I love to read them. Steve, he says he should be commended for giving the media mafia what they deserve.
Again, Trump era.
Yeah. Chris says, I like a man of action. Reporters are almost as low as lawyers.
That's ridiculous.
Jeffrey says, I believe we need a strong leader, both mentally and physically. Strong men are better politicians.
It's like Idiocracy. It really, you know, it just feels like that's where we're going
President
so fast.
Macho Camacho.
Macho Camacho. Yeah. I mean, all the you know, power positions are all sticking Macho Camacho in the places. Except that actually is an insult to Macho Camacho.
Macho Camacho.
Because he was at least a decent guy. He just happened to be a professional wrestler or whatever the hell he was.
He tried.
Right. But, you know, it's this whole mentality of, you know, I can do and act any way I want, and yet they're the ones that go on non-believers about not having morals. Are you kidding me right now? Because their behavior, all of them, is just absurd. And the fact that, you know, freedom of the press, his job is to be there to ask our political people questions. That's what their job is. They have to answer our questions.
True.
So if you don't like it, then get out of the seat.
Yep.
Anyways, go.
But by far my favorite came from religious right activist Dave Dobenmeyer, who declared on his Pass the Salt live webcast that America needs, quote, a more violent Christianity. And he cited President Trump and Greg Gianforte as examples of violent men who are properly, quote, walking in authority.
Wow, we're like a step away from lynch mobs. Yeah. I mean, they're going to start dragging people down the street soon.
No one expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Truly. I mean, I'm not going there with you.
You never go to Monty Python. Never.
Just, it's not my thing.
Sorry.
Anyways, but truly, it's like, what century are we in? I swear we're going so backwards and so fast and unchecked. It's really absolutely scary.
So here's the finish of his quote.
Oh, okay, sorry.
The only thing that is going to save Western civilization is a more aggressive and more violent Christianity.
Jesus Christ.
People are sick and tired of it, he said. They're saying, yes, a fighter, go, dude, go. Who won? The dude that took the other dude to the ground.
Oh, yeah, there's good grammar.
Now, what he has failed to realize is that Montana had early voting and a lot of mail-in voting.
Right. That's why he got, I was going to mention, the reason he won the election was because they had a lot of mail-in that had already happened before this took place.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet that day of voting, there were a lot of votes against him.
Yeah, I'm sure he lost a lot of supporters.
I would certainly hope so.
Still a lot of supporters out there.
There are.
I mean, what is up with this violence mentality?
Well, we did elect a bully to president. Well, we didn't, but
no.
America elected.
And but what's sad is it's spreading like wildfire. Like, it's super contagious and you can't get away, because the acts of violence and the fact that everyone accepts it and thinks it's an okay behavior, and I cannot understand it. It blows me away, and I can't help, I know it's a broken record, but it constantly in my head keeps coming back to the fact they call us immoral.
Right.
Are you really kidding me right now? Because damn.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It really is. Anyways.
Speaking of them calling us immoral.
Uh-huh.
Has God We Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster "In God We Trust" on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an "In God We Trust" decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
Baptists were told that atheism is a great menace in the world.
Really?
Yes. Thousands of delegates who attended the Northern Baptist Convention in Cleveland on May 28th heard Dr. Alton L. Miller of Boston declare that the forces of atheism are a, quote, menace challenging the Protestant denominations of the world. Atheism is a menace to Christianity. Well, to the world, apparently. Pointing out the magnitude of forces opposed to Christian doctrine, he said the greatest danger comes from organizations purposely spreading the seeds of atheism. I can only imagine he's talking about American atheists, American humanists, probably. Freedom from religion.
Religion.
Yes.
We are legion.
He said, the very existence of God, they strike at the heart of the Christian message. Such efforts have found the peak of their success in Russia, where the Soviet is fostering atheism in order to loosen the hold of the organized church on the Russian people.
That's funny.
Now, had I been around in 1950s, I would have said, yeah, he probably was right.
Yeah.
However, that's not the Russia of today.
Not even close.
No. So,
I don't even
know. So this guy's stuck in the past somewhere.
Apparently, well, it's just, I don't know, people have the weirdest damn views on everything. I swear, everyone sees anything the way they want to see it, regardless of what reality is.
But yeah, he also said other conditions that were dangerous to religion are mysticism of the East and materialism of the West and cynicism of youth.
So just his belief system is the only one.
Right. Which is weird coming from the Northern Baptist.
Oh, uh-huh.
The fact that I have never heard of the Northern Baptist Convention before this. It's usually the Southern Baptist Convention.
Well, you grew up knowing that. So.
Yeah, but I
don't guess. Look at me.
There's too many Baptists.
Yeah, I just did Catholic.
Yeah, but this is just more feeding into the anti-atheist rhetoric.
Yeah, you know it's never going to go away. I mean,
not until everybody's an atheist.
No, I mean, it'll get better and it'll get better and it'll get better, but it's not going to go away.
It's never going to go away in the world so long as people have superstitions.
Yeah, what is that? Why do people got to hold on to their daddy complexes and whatnot?
I don't know.
Insecurity?
Insecurity? Yeah, maybe.
Yes. Anyways.
Indoctrination?
I don't know. I think it's two things. I think for those higher up that are giving this information out to all their flock, it's power trip. and it's a money thing.
Yeah, I could see
but
that.
But for the followers, it's a insecurity, don't want to be alone, need someone watching over me kind of thing.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, that's what I think anyways. And I guess I just, that's something I don't need to have. I mean, I don't have to know that there's someone watching over me. There's someone who created everything that I have. To me, I just find it absurd. And honestly, I find it kind of sad because you miss out on the full enjoyment of what you have. I don't know. It just seems to take something away. I don't know. That's just what I think.
I tend to agree with you.
All right.
Hi, this is Trav Mamone, host of the By Any Means podcast. Join me every week as I interview bloggers, podcasters, writers, and activists about the intersections of atheism, humanism, racial justice, feminism, LGBTQ rights, and other social issues. You can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, Spreaker, and Stitcher, and you can read my blog at freethoughtblogs.com/byanymeans. And remember, that's bi spelled B-I. Come take a listen to the musings of a queer humanist, because, hey, aren't we all a little bi curious?
Great Scott! Marty! We have to go, yuck, to the past!
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. Now, that doesn't mean Tom's coming on. Right, that's normally his intro. But we're doing a little bit of history bashing here.
Okay.
Religious right historian, pseudo-historian. Sorry, I almost messed that up. Gave him the wrong title.
Mm-hmm.
David Barton spent a good portion of his Wall Builders live radio program insisting that the absence of any mention of God in the U.S. Constitution is proof that it is not a secular document.
Wait. Oh, okay.
Yeah, see,
I
got you.
Took me a second to understand what the hell you said.
Yeah, and you still probably got it wrong.
Oh, thank you. Confidence right there.
So, He literally said because the U.S. Constitution doesn't mention God,
that's what
it's not a secular document.
That's what hurt.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Here's a quote. People say...
That's what? Retarded.
Okay.
Do you know how stupid that is?
Let's just...
I could put that to anything.
Okay, let me finish.
All right, fine.
People say, well, the word God isn't in the Constitution. There's a reason for that, and it doesn't mean it's secular. It means just the opposite. Okay.
Okay.
As Barton sees it, there are four mentions of God in the Declaration of Independence, and the Constitution is really nothing more than part two of the Declaration. So the Founding Fathers didn't need to bother mentioning it again.
Oh, okay. So because it was in this, it doesn't need to be in that, because this kind of overlays all of it.
Yeah, and there's more quoting from him.
Okay.
They didn't feel like they had to say anything in the Constitution because they already said it really strongly in the Declaration. Why repeat it? Because this is just the completion of the Declaration, if you will. He also claims that the independence of the United States of America, the 12th, is what binds the Constitution to the Declaration.
Declaration.
Declaration, right? Making them two parts of the same document.
Wow.
Okay. So let's look at how well they're tied together.
Okay.
And this is why I said it can't count.
Okay.
Declaration of Independence, written and signed July 1776.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Constitution, written and signed May to September 1787.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly right next to each other historically.
No.
The authors. So let's look at the authors. Maybe they're the same.
Okay.
Declaration of Independence. Jefferson, with help from Adams, Franklin, Livingston, and Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
Constitution. Madison, with Hamilton, wrote the majority of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And it should be noted that Adams and Jefferson were off being diplomats at that time. They weren't even in the country. So, no authorship.
So, again, no link.
No link. Content. Declaration of Independence is a letter with intent to absolve relations with England and list of grievances.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Constitution is a set of rules and laws designed to set up a nation. Again, not really connected.
Uh-huh.
If you take in the 11-year difference.
You know, this is why everyone interprets the Bible the way that they personally interpret it. Which is why you get people who say they're interpreting, or the Bible is this way or that way or what have you.
So you take that 11-year gap and the intervening war that made them entirely separate documents with totally different intents.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really think we need to get into the Declaration of Independence and the God issue in there, because it doesn't say God even once.
The guy is really delusional.
It says creator.
Well, of course that means God.
Yeah. Which is why he's a pseudo-historian. It's ridiculous.
Who is a pseudo-historian?
Fake.
Yeah, pseudo is, yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know if his doctorate is real. I don't remember. I remember there was
a doctorate in that, seriously?
In pseudo-history? Yes, he has a doctorate in pseudo-history, I guarantee it.
A waste of money and time.
I think he has one of those honorary doctorates from somewhere.
Oh, one of those.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I got one of those.
Yeah, you get those online.
I got one I got a doctorate in thinkology.
Thinkology.
From the University E Pluribus Unum. It's on my profile. Check it.
Uh-huh.
I printed it myself.
Well, there you go.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
This week, we're bringing an award winner from Minnesota and State Representative Abigail Whalen.
Minnesota. And it's a Mrs. Potter.
Yes, I'm not sexist at all.
All right, what's she been up to?
All right, earlier this week, the Minnesota House was having a debate about an amendment that would close loopholes for offshore tax havens. So people hiding money offshore so they don't have to pay taxes on it, right?
Right.
Democrat Paul Tissen, I think it's pronounced.
Sure.
Asked why she didn't support the amendment and asked if she thinks, quote, benefiting people who are hiding money in Liberia is worth raising taxes on your own constituents. And her answer might surprise you.
Okay.
I have some audio.
Will Representative Whalen yield to a question?
She will yield, Representative Tissen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Whalen, in light of what Representative Hornstein just said, do you think benefiting people who are hiding money in Liberia is more important and is worth raising taxes on your own constituents?
Representative Whalen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative Tissen, for the question. It might be because it's late and I'm really tired, but I'm going to take this opportunity to just share with the body something I have been grappling with over the past several months, and that is the games that we play here. And I just want you to know, Representative Tissen and the DFL caucus, I forgive you. It is okay, because I have an eternal perspective about this. I have an eternal perspective, and I want to share that with you and with the people listening at home, that at the end of the day, when we try to reach agreement with divided government, we win some, we lose some, nobody's really happy. But you know what? Happiness and circumstances, not what it's about. There is actual joy to be found in Jesus Christ. Jesus loves you all. If you would like to get to know him, if you're listening at home, if you're here in this room, please email me, call me. I'd love to talk to you about Jesus. He is the hope of this state and of this country.
Well, there you go. How was that?
What the hell was that?
So, she not only did she not answer the question, she proselytized in the middle of a congressional hearing.
I'm exhausted, but
Jesus loves
you. The whole time she was talking, it sounded like she was running a marathon or something. Like she just got finished with it.
I don't know, but oh god, that was the most insane lead up to Jesus loves you I've ever heard.
I'm not going to answer your question on taxes because it doesn't matter, but Jesus loves you. And email me. We'll talk about it.
but she did vote against it, and along with all the other Republicans, causing it to fail in a party line vote. Uh-huh. So Minnesota Republicans don't care if someone's hiding money offshore.
Of course, because it benefits them. If they ever want to do it, it's there for the option.
Right. But this is not the first time her religion has come into the chamber. Oddly enough.
Man, she's kind of nutso.
In 2016, she co-authored Minnesota's version of an anti-trans bathroom bill that would have barred transgender people from using bathrooms matching their gender identity in public areas and their workplaces. Back on this again.
Yes.
During a radio interview in April 2016, she characterized society's growing tolerance for LGBTQ people as, quote, entering into an era where good is called evil and evil is called good. good.
Oh my God, was she a child? It's opposite day. That's what it sounds like.
She says, when you go through life and you're transgender and you end up having an operation, those folks, they are depressed.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for transgenders now?
Yes, she's saying that they're depressed.
Oh my God, this girl's got a set. Because that's ridiculous. She can't speak for someone. She can only speak for herself. I hate when people speak for other people. It just burns me. Go ahead.
Anyway, she says the gender fluidity movement is one of the biggest problems we are facing, and it's bringing about a lot of confusion. I would also encourage folks to keep praying because we all know the battle is spiritual.
Oh, my God.
So it's the battle for transgender bathroom rights is spiritual.
Because God's got that high on his priority. Make sure everyone goes to the correct bathrooms.
Obviously. That's why he made sure his signs are right.
You know, don't worry about that tsunami. Don't look in that direction. Just look over here at the bathrooms.
Pretty much.
That's our focus right now.
Yeah. She also signed on to a letter that congratulated North Carolina governor for the anti-transgender bathroom bill in that state.
Wow, she's got some issues.
Yeah. Well, she's got more.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Potter Award winner.
She's a holy nutso.
A holy nutso is right. She championed a bill that would withhold $14 million from the University of Minnesota unless researchers stopped using fetal tissue from aborted fetuses in medical research.
So she's just on a holy quest. That's her only point in life.
Pretty much. I mean,
why is she even bothering being in the position she is? She should go work for the church or something.
Oh, I agree. She's doing the church's work.
But, my God, I have some issues with this. Separation, church, and state.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't have a problem with people
fighting for what they believe in.
Yeah, I don't have a huge problem with that, right? I just think they're completely wrong about it.
No, I get that, but the fact that they want to dictate how someone else can live their life.
Exactly.
You live your life the way you want. Fine, dandy, be delusional, that's your call. But don't go sticking your crap all over other people.
I agree.
I mean, just leave. Why can't everybody just live their own lives and let people go the way they want to go? Yeah. I just don't understand that.
Well, luckily that measure for the fetal tissue didn't become law, but it did hurt the university.
Yeah, I bet.
They had someone in mind to lead that team, and they said they would not take the job because it reminded us of the many risks inherent in moving their family there.
Wait, English?
Okay. That having this atmosphere made them not want to take the job because it might put his family at risk.
Because the Christians going at them.
Right.
But all he's fine. And again, there's that moral train.
Yeah.
You know, they're supposed to be such good people. My eye.
And I've got one more for you. Mm-hmm. Probably one of my favorites.
Okay.
She's also a sponsor of many bills, including one that, quote, recognizes pornography as a public health hazard leading to a broad spectrum of individual public health impacts and societal harms. And memorializing Congress to recognize this hazard and address pornography at a national level.
So she has issues with naked pictures.
Pretty much.
And adults looking at naked pictures.
Pretty much.
Of other adults.
Right.
Oh my God. Again, interfering with other people's lives and not breaking the law. It's not against the law to look at pornography. As long as they're adult to adult.
Right. So long as it's consensual adults.
Right, exactly. I mean, why do Christians have such this naked phobia? They're so afraid of the human body. Don't get it. Don't get it one bit.
I don't either.
No other animal species wears clothes, but yet humans do. And the second someone's not wearing clothing, either on most of their body or all of their body or something, they, like, freak out.
Yeah, I know.
I don't understand that at all.
It's like last year? I think it was last year. We talked about Springfield, Missouri, and their dress code.
Okay.
You may not remember. We talked about how they don't want any side boob.
Oh, yeah.
The little long armpit shirts.
Oh, okay.
Right, so they didn't want to see any side boob.
Yeah, again, I don't understand people's phobia.
I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet.
And more so to, and I'm not one to, you know, want my kids going around dressed in shirts like that, because they have shirts like that and they know we go around and around about that. But at the same, because I believe that, you know, you can have class, you know, you can be sexy and, you know, whatnot and still do it with style and class. But that's a whole nother thing. They have this like whole phobia, sinfulness about the human body and being ashamed of it and whatnot.
Well, and what's interesting is it's mainly towards women's bodies.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And, you know, society as a whole, and it comes from Christianity, because the girls have the problem in schools with this same thing. The dress code is literally geared just to the girls of the school.
Right.
The boys have no rules or regulations other than the typical don't wear, you know, something that promotes drugs and alcohol on your shirt.
Right.
And profanity, which, you know, encompasses the whole school. But every single other dress code rule is all geared to the girls.
Yeah.
And the same goes just in society as a whole. Majority of the rules or what have you is for women. Men can go shirtless, but women can't go shirtless. Why? Because we have a little bit more flesh than men do. I don't know. Some man boobs out there might be a little bigger than some female boobs out there.
That is definitely
true. But they can still go topless.
Right.
I mean, some moobs are bigger than boobs.
That is true.
And, you know, I think it's pretty sexist to only allow men to go shirtless. Either don't let anyone go shirtless or let everyone go shirtless.
Right. It's a good thing we're not sexist here at Secular Yakking. It really is.
But I'm not going with you right now. But I'm serious. I just, you know, and the other point is, if it was the norm that men and women could go topless, you wouldn't make such a big deal out of the boobs.
Well, it's because they've sexualized the boobs.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You can wear short sleeve shirts and show those elbows because we haven't sexualized our elbows.
Well, and not in 100 years.
It's common. And
if you look at the history of American history of dress codes.
Yeah, I know. The whole you're showing your ankles kind of thing.
Yeah, the ankles. Ooh, or your scandalous. Knees.
Right. You know? I get that. But now it's come to all you have to do is wear pasties. I mean.
Yeah.
But
so it's better.
I don't know. It's just, it's ridiculous, the phobia, which isn't it? Europe is really more open about that
for
kind of stuff.
For the most part.
Not, you know, walking topless in the streets or anything, but I meant as far as their main social media type shows and whatnot.
Yeah, they're very much more sexually open.
Yeah, it's not such a big deal.
Yeah, Americans have a huge hang-up
sexually.
Americans
make a huge, yeah, really big deal about it. And yet look at, you know, the teen pregnancies in America, the promiscuity that you have in America. Look at the TV shows that they produce here in America that are, they take it to like a raunchy place instead of just a common, they're nude kind of place.
Right.
More natural, I guess, is what I'm looking at.
Because we over-sexualize the body in America. So it either
shames or over-sexualizes.
Or becomes satire.
Right. That's true too.
So that's where you got to go.
I'm just complain a lot.
That's what we do. We drink and we complain.
I ain't drinking. You're the one drinking.
I'm not actually drinking.
Yes, you are.
I had like 3 sips of that thing.
Yeah, okay, fine. But anyways, I just, there's so much to rant about and complain about, and there's nothing you can do but take it up the tailpipe.
Mm-hmm. As Jim Carrey says.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yes.
I think that's all the yakking I got for you this week.
I am good as well. Hope everybody has a good week.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
My input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.
Think it'll work?
It will.
would take a miracle.
Bye-bye!